A big story today in college sports. University of California officials announcing today that three sports slated for termination at the end of the school year, men's rugby, women's lacrosse, and women's gymnastics, will be preserved, but baseball and men's gymnastics will be eliminated. Now, fundraising on behalf of the three sports to be preserved was the determining factor, university officials said, while noting that fundraising by baseball and men's gymnastics were not up to the established criteria. And the university, in a statement, said it was determined that pledges for baseball and men's gymnastics fell short of the criteria provided to potential donors. A total of $12 to $13 million was raised in the Save Cal Sports campaign, nearly $6 million of it coming from rugby supporters. Baseball contributed $1.5 to $2 million, and it is the most costly Cal sport, relying on the university's general fund for about $1 million annually. This is a story which has national ramifications. I'm sure a lot of colleges and universities around the country have been watching as to how California, the University of California, handles this situation, because their programs are struggling financially as well. And Dr. Harry Edwards joined us, noted sports sociologist who was a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, and also works with major sports leagues. The ramifications of this decision, and now carried out by the University of California, Harry, what does it mean to college sports?
Well, I think that what Cal is doing is merely getting ahead of the crowd in terms of making these kinds of adjustments. The reality is that at least since I did my earliest research on what I call the collegiate athletic arms race in the early 80s, that this thing has been expanding. It has become increasingly unmanageable. Ultimately, it's absolutely unsustainable, and at some point, it becomes unconscionable as they take money away from academic departments and so forth that are folding to give to athletics. Cal had a $14 million a year subsidy that it was paying to athletics. These non-revenue producing sports are really only part of the issue. The heart of the issue is the increasing amount of money demanded by football and basketball in order to stay competitive in these ever-expanding leagues. Larger coaching staffs, more opulent and competitive facilities, the debt service on those facilities, the salaries of coaches, which have been expanding in basketball and football if you want to stay apace of the schools in your conference that you're competing against, much less the schools nationally. So Cal is merely out front. But at some point, they're going to have to move beyond trying to gather money for these minor so-called sports to be self-sustaining. They're going to have to cut into basketball and into football, which are the major challenges to these institutions in this burgeoning collegiate athletic arms race.
Do you think that other schools, in other words, chancellors and presidents around the country of these schools, are kind of happy to see what Cal has done, because it may make it easier for them to make the hard decisions they have to make on their campuses?
Well, this year I gave a keynote address before the NC2A, and in the wake of that address, I've had so many letters and invitations to go and speak at other places about this very issue. And the impact that it's going to have, not just in terms of what people wind up looking at as far as these bills are concerned that athletics are generating. For example, it is estimated that by 2020, the average Division I institution in one of the six major conferences will be spending $250 million a year to sustain the athletic department alone. That's the average. There'll be those that'll be above. There might even be a few who can make it through below. But everybody is concerned about these problems. And, of course, it's going to have an impact on eventually the number of scholarships football are able to give out, the number of scholarships basketball is able to give out, coaching salaries in both of those sports. And this, of course, will impact the diversity balance in those two sports, especially since blacks get scholarships principally in basketball and football. They're the ones who sustain all of the other sports in many instances. So there are ramifications of this thing that go far beyond simply what happens to men's gymnastics or baseball or women's volleyball, and so forth.
Originally, it was five sports, including baseball, men's gymnastics, men's rugby, also women's lacrosse and women's gymnastics. But rugby, men's rugby, and women's lacrosse and women's gymnastics have been reinstated. Do you think, how much did Title IX play into that decision, do you think? And, of course, men's rugby raised $6 million. So, again, it comes down to the dollar sign again, I guess.
Yeah, I think that there is no question that any school, and I think Cal is wise to do that, takes due consideration of the impact on women in the same sense that any impact on the diversity issue in terms of basketball and football, I'm quite certain, could very well blossom into a political issue if due cognizance is not paid to those factors once it is understood that it is not enough simply to cut some so-called minor sports. You have got to, at some point, begin to cut into those sports which bring in the most money, but they also command the most money almost at every level, from recruitment to coaches' salaries to facilities, the debt service on expanding facilities and so forth. So I'm quite certain that the people at Cal were cognizant of the Title IX ramifications of the cuts that they made and did everything that they could to make sure that those kinds of issues were addressed in bringing back the sports that they brought back. Rugby thing, like you say, was strictly a matter of can they generate the money to support themselves.
One of the things that surprised me was in the statement from the University of California that they left the door open for reinstating both baseball and men's gymnastics. And I thought, you know, I just didn't think that that was something that's probably possible, because I don't see anything changing on the financial landscape that would probably make it possible to bring those two. Were they kind of just teasing? Was that something that they should not have done in your mind, Dr. Edwards?
No, I think that the athletic director and the chancellor and the athletic board and the people who make these kinds of decisions were correct to always leave the door open, because these are sports that students participate in. These are sports that are have important traditions, especially baseball, for example, on the Cal campus. Rugby has an important role there, and I'm quite certain they did everything they could to help those people to bring that sport back. So at the end of it all, there's nothing wrong with leaving the door open, but simply because the door is open really is not a promissory note of any sort, especially if the entire house is in danger of collapsing under the weight of its own physical unsustainability. And what we have going now in this collegiate athletic arms race, with the expanding conferences, which means more travel in most instances. The payoff at the end, if you go to a national championship game, or if you go to a BCS game, or a bowl, or if you go to the Sweet 16, or you know, the last eight, or the Final Four, or however those things are structured once they start adding teams and so forth and so on, there's a payoff. But getting there, it's very expensive, and most of the teams in that competition are never going to get those big payoffs. And so the debt is going to pile up, and either the state is going to have to subsidize them, which is to say the state legislature, or the university is going to have to find some way to subsidize these programs, and at some point that simply becomes unsustainable.
We only have a minute left, Harry, but I'm just wondering, with the reinstatement of these programs, are we talking about a pay-for-play for athletes at the college level in some of the minor sports?
I'm quite certain that institutions across this country are going to be looking at every possible option in order to maintain and sustain themselves. So I would not be surprised not only if there was pay for play as far as the athletes and so forth are concerned, but if you didn't show up with the so-and-so shoe rugby team, or, you know, some corporate sponsor that sponsored the rugby team and picked up all of the costs, including the scholarships, in exchange for the advertising value that the success of those teams would bring. So you essentially at that point have what the NFL and Major League Baseball and NBA have, which is sponsorships of franchise operations. And I think that even that is not off the table for those institutions that are really sincerely interested in maintaining their competitiveness at the same time that they sustain the balance between academic financial commitments and athletic financial commitments.
Harry, as always, a sane voice in this discussion. I thank you, sir, for your perspective and insights on it. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Harry Edwards, noted sports sociologist who was a professor at Cal Berkeley and now works with the major sports leagues. And again, this story is Cal has announced that they are reinstating three of the five sports that they were going to cut for financial reasons. We'll take a break as we continue with more of You and Sports Byline.